Hello and welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. Today we're joined by a representative from the PDA. Would you be kind enough to introduce yourself?
Yes, certainly, Jonathan. My name's Mark Pitt, and I'm the Assistant General Secretary of the PDA Union. I also have another role as the Director of Defence Services of the PDA.
What's your background then, Mark? Fill us in a wee bit, just to bring us up to speed.
I'm a pharmacist and graduated sort of in the early 80s, and my background has an early career has been with Boots Always. I was there in a variety of roles for 25 years until I joined the PDA about 10 or 12 years ago.
And what's your role at the PDA now, then? What does that involve?
Okay, well, my principal role at the PDA is as the Director of Defence Services, and what that role entails is I've got a team of expert pharmacists, solicitors, employment solicitors, lawyers, regulatory advisors, whose job is to support our members who come to us with issues and concerns and questions about their sort of workplace and professional practice. So my job is to make sure that our members are served as best as we can using the resources we've got, and to essentially make sure they get the right level of expertise from the very basic questions that people have sometimes, right through to various serious cases involving the death of a patient or other serious criminal matters that the pharmacists encounter from time to time.
Goodness me, so you must have seen, to use a cliche, you must have seen it all.
Yes, I mean, we've got an enormous amount of experience at the PDA because of our sort of growing membership. So we pretty much have seen everything. Although, one of the things I say to my team on a regular basis is, gosh, you think you've seen everything, but what about that last case? Because, there are so many permutations, so many opportunities for things to happen that almost every week we are seeing something that is new. But because of our experience and because of our background, we're able to deal with things, and we've got access to some real good specialists in a variety of fields to make sure that if it's something that's outside the scope of our team here, that we've got quick access to somebody who's dealt with those type of issues before.
Brilliant. I mean, the PDA is, if you measure it by membership alone, it's really risen from the ashes in the last sort of 10, 15 years, hasn't it? So I mean, the membership's up around 20, what, 28, 29,000 now.
28,000. I mean, when I joined, it was round about 7,000. Over a sort of a period of a sort of a decade, we've continued, we've grown and continue to grow. And I think, based on our best estimates, we're the largest representative organisation for pharmacists in the UK. We think we've got more members than the RPS.
Now, I often say this on this podcast, and it's not a massive stretch of the imagination for folk to imagine that I'm a bit thick. So apologies if the next question is a bit basic, but just very briefly, help me understand what is a union?
A union is a sort of a collective, a group of workers, employees who join an organisation to help improve their sort of collective voice. And it's also an organisation, a union that can lobby on their behalf on a wider basis, not just individual basis. Belonging to a union gives you the ability under law to get represented by a trade union official in the workplace. It gives other protections as well. And the union, there are two main types of union. There's what's called a listed union, which is where anybody can essentially apply to a government organisation called a certification officer and apply to become a listed trade union. And that's a fairly easy process. And to give you an example, the Boots Pharmacists Association were a listed trade union. The next step is to go through a rigorous audit and assessment process to apply to become an independent trade union. Now that's quite a step. You have to have proper processes in place, proper rules. You have to be scrutinised by an independent government agency. And if you pass that assessment to make sure that you're looking like a proper union as well as acting like a proper union, then you get issued with a certificate of independence. And we've had ours for quite a number of years now. It escapes me the exact time, but we went through that process quite a number of years ago.
So your modus operandi, as it were, is to support employees and so on. The next thing I wanted to ask you about, and whilst I am a bit thick, I think I'd be forgiven for finding this issue complex. I was quite keen to ask you about the ballot that's going on at the moment, or that will shortly be going on. So I know it's there's intricacies. It's been a long story. But this seems to be the culmination. Would that be right? Could you take us through the sort of history of what's been happening?
Yes, I'll try and do that as briefly and concisely as I can, Jonathan, so we don't send your listeners to sleep. Basically, an independent union can apply to be what's called formally recognised by an employer. Now that is a legal process, and it provides a sort of a huge number of benefits for the employees it represented. In this case, back in 2011, we decided that on the basis of feedback from our Boots membership that they wanted us to apply for formal recognition with Boots. We did that, and then Boots and the BPA came up with a sort of a defensive mechanism where they signed a deal that was designed to try and keep out an independent trade union. Now, this deal specifically excluded any sort of matters of real importance to pharmacists, so BPA couldn't negotiate over pay hours and holiday, that type of thing. And those are the things that pharmacists really want. Instead, that agreement sort of was very limited and just covered facilities for the BPA and the equipment that the BPA officers could get from the company. But it was sufficient to block a legitimate independent trade union from applying. And you know, we had to go through a court process to try and find the best way to secure those negotiation rights for our members. And you know, it went to the Court of Appeal. They clearly told us that the only way that pharmacists could get independent trade union recognition was by actually de-recognising the BPA, which was the organisation that Boots recognised with this agreement, albeit on a very limited scope. Mm-hmm. Now, that had never been done. No union has been de-recognised in the past 17 years since the legislation was introduced. So it was a bit of a real mountain to climb. However, there was six brave volunteers from Boots who wanted to support that. We had others, but we chose six, and they made an application for the BPA to be de-recognised. Now, again, it's untried legislation. Nobody had ever done that. And you can imagine it wasn't a straightforward process. But eventually we got through the process needed, which is not an easy process and very complex. And there was a vote last year to Boots pharmacists and pre-regs to see if they wanted the BPA to be de-recognised, and that would be a precursor to us then being able to apply. Mm-hmm. So we supported those six individuals, and you know, the outcome was that over 2,800 pharmacists voted to remove the barrier to their own chosen union being recognised. So the BPA were de-recognised. And again, that was a historic moment. It's a very high threshold to get success in that vote, in that you've got to get a high turnout of Boots pharmacists, first of all, to vote and to vote in favour. And, we achieved that. And there was quite a few people that never expected us to do that, because it's complex, never been done in 17 years beforehand. And we were the first organisation to succeed in that. So that opened the door for what's happening now, which is a recognition vote. So it's essentially a similar type of exercise. And we were disappointed that Boots didn't sort of respect the mandate that, you know, a significant proportion of their pharmacists had given them, that they wanted recognition for the PDA. However, we're prepared and ready to deal with this vote. So there are approximately, I think, 6,500 pharmacists and pre-regs who are working on a relief or store basis at a specific level of seniority, who will be balloted again, and they will be asked whether they wish the PDA union to be recognised. And we're just about to enter what's called the ballot period, which is where the union and the employer will set out their respective cases on why people should or shouldn't vote for the PDA. And, you know, we're just about to enter that phase. And then a couple of weeks into the ballot period, round about the sort of the 18th of February, people will be sent their vote, their ballot papers, and will finally have an opportunity, which should put this issue to rest after sort of 8 long years, on whether the PDA should be recognised at Boots.
Very interesting. So many people you meet in pharmacy used to work for Boots, isn't that right? You know, it's amazing how many people you come across.
It is, and I
did as well. I worked there for 8 or 9 years, I think. Can't remember exactly how long, but to be honest, I really enjoyed it. I loved it, and actually we were recognised. You know, the store was, I don't know exactly what area, store of the year in our local region or something like that, but I want to share my example, because I think it makes this thing real for folk, and this kind of makes the argument for that independent union need. So I was one of these folk that was marked as not perform, and that was fine. The process went through, and it was actually overturned. I appealed it. It was traumatic, I must admit. It wasn't just easy peasy. I must admit, the system worked. And I was represented by the Boots Pharmacy Association, you see. I actually don't have any qualms, if I'm really honest, about how I was treated, and it was all very fair, and I carried on working there, and it was fine. But what did niggle was the fact that the Boots Pharmacy Association representative, in my example, was also a senior manager in the company. Now, that is my understanding of why union independence is so important. Is that correct and accurate and representative?
It is, and that's why it's important that there is that sort of distance, independence, and separation from the employer and the union. Clearly, you know, it's important to have good relationships and productive relationships, and, you know, it's in the interests of the union members for there to be a successful employer. So, but it's the ability to look at things dispassionately from an objective basis. And to give you an example, the BPA wasn't an independent trade union, but at the time we made our application, it made a decision to apply for independent status, which is, you know, perfectly acceptable. They actually were rejected for a certificate of independence because of their sort of relationship and that they chose to have with Boots. Now, you know, they would have undergone the same scrutiny as ourselves, but and this is a public record document, they were rejected for a certificate of independence. Now, that's sort of quite interesting in itself, because in the last sort of 20, 25 years, there have only been three unions who have ever been rejected for a certificate of independence, and the other two were rejected decades ago. One was there was a one for Rupert Murdoch, a Prince union that he wanted to get a certificate of independence, and the other one was for the Spy Centre GCHQ at Cheltenham, and the BPA were the third union to be rejected for a certificate of independence. So what independence does, it means that you're not reliant on the employer to sustain you or to recruit for you or anything like that. You've got your own means to survive. So therefore, that means that when you go into meetings, when you are putting forward things on behalf of your member, you haven't got to be concerned about your own job or anything like that. It's a state of independence that gives people confidence that you know they're being looked after properly.
And I do think that's a moot point. I think that for me, that is the nub of the issue, you know, and without lingering on my own example, you know, although it was, you know, the processes were delivered by good people doing the right thing, and ultimately the process worked in my case, and that was great. It did, on reflection, I did kind of think, how can a manager sit, in basic terms, how can a manager sit on both sides of the table? So that's I guess why people should vote, isn't it?
Exactly. And I mean, one of the things that being recognised will bring us is the ability to negotiate over pay, hours and holiday. Now, it isn't just related to whether you get 1%, 2% or something like that. What that brings is the ability to negotiate over the way and the mechanism that pay is awarded, and the market-based pay and the current pay and reward system, where there are sort of distributions of awards, that gives us the opportunity to meet with the company and to talk about how that can be improved. You know, companies have to have a pay system, you know, and it's quite legitimate for Boots to, you know, reward those who perform better. What you find is that very subjective views are given by managers, and they have far-reaching consequences for individuals. So, you know, like any good pharmacist, we believe that prevention is better than cure. So rather than having to support our members to challenge these things, which, you know, we happily do, and we've got a brilliant track record in, you know, I think 9 out of 10 pharmacists who come to us for help with their final year assessment are successful in overturning it. We want to sort of tackle the root causes of that and work with the company to get better processes, fairer processes, so that, you know, there are less of these issues. And as you'll find out yourself, it's not an easy process to follow. You've got to have determination. You've got to have courage. And, you know, you're sitting across somebody very senior in the business who has a sort of an influence over your career. So we want to try and stop those traumatic experiences, which, you know, are, you know, difficult for the individual and time wasting for the employer as well, because, you know, a senior manager has got to come in, give up their valuable time that could be spent, you know, on building the business and doing the things that generate income, rather than, you know, deal with a problem that's arisen lower down the chain. So, you know, that's a big driver for us, is to get into the company, to get them to sit across the table so we can negotiate a fairer process. And, you know, everything that our members are telling us is that they are unhappy with this system, particularly the forced distribution, which means that approximately 1,000 out of the 7,000 pharmacists in Boots have to be graded as underperforming to meet the company sort of split. And that's quite concerning, you know, if you think about it, because potentially patients, customers have a 1 in 7 chance of bumping into a pharmacist who the company believes are underperforming in their role. I personally don't think that's the case. I think, you know, Boots pharmacists are excellent. They're, you know, they work for an employer who has a very high reputation. And I just find it strange that the company insists that one in seven of those individuals is underperforming in their role.
And they might respond to that, and I'll reach out to them and see if they want to have a chat about that. That there are, you know, that in the interest of balance, I suppose I should say that. But I suppose from your point of view, that's one of the things that the ballot is important. Yeah, it's the independence piece.
Yeah, it's a big bugbear as well for our pharmacists, and you know we respect the fact that employers have to have a pay system, but we want our members to be treated fairly, objectively, and to be able to have meaningful conversations about their own performance. And you know, a lot of the feedback we get just says that doesn't happen. You know, managers are busy; they've got other things, and you know, quite often at the end of the year, at the pay review time, they're just told what their review is going to be, and don't have an opportunity to feed into that. And you know, one of the things that we do notice is that, you know, there may well be processes and systems that are implemented, you know, come from head office, but the reality on the ground and how they're delivered in practice is not always as people expect them to do. And that's where we believe, you know, being able to articulate the voice of our members and to make sure that those issues get raised. Because the existing mechanisms at the moment, they've got the BPA, which was an organization that they said they listened to. They've also got what's called a pharmacist partnership panel, which is where appointees from each region meet with company leaders and discuss matters. You know, we're aware from what our members tell us that those issues have been brought up through those forums before and nothing's really happened. And that's why I think that there is this growing demand for pharmacist voices to be heard so that, you know, it gets properly addressed.
And I mean, I suppose as an innocent bystander in all of this, I guess my hope for the profession, if I could say it, well, for those pharmacists affected and your members, I guess, and for the company, I hope there's a positive sort of synergistic outcome to all this, if I'm honest, you know?
Yeah, we believe, as the largest sort of representative organisation of pharmacists in the UK, we've got our ideas, the company have got their ideas. You know, we would hope in a positive, sensible, constructive debate that, you know, it would be a win-win, because, you know, it's no point us having lots of pharmacists in Boots and we don't do a good job for them. We don't get them in better environments, better benefits and that type of thing, but all of that is in vain if that, you know, means the company isn't able to build its business. So, you know, our approach, I personally am very grateful to Boots. I was trained by them. I had brilliant opportunities. I think they're a great company, and I think the pharmacists that work for Boots are great examples of pharmacists. But I think that they need a sort of an independent balance, really. And, you know, we are going to be approaching recognition, if we're successful, with a very positive mindset in discussions with the company to achieve win-wins. And, you know, whatever happens, we will be doing it at the behest and command of our members who make up the union. You know, they're the ones that will be driving the pay negotiations, that will be driving the changes that they want to see, and we have to be receptive to that, because if we don't have an attractive offer for Boots members, they won't join us, and that reduces our mandate down. So we've got to make sure, and we would hope that the company, wants it gets a decision on this and realizes that, you know, it has to recognize us, will want to work positively with us for the benefit of, you know, patients, benefit of pharmacists and benefit of shareholders. And there are some real opportunities there for the union to help Boots and its pharmacists to develop.
Very good. And of course, it may well set a precedent across the rest of the profession and the pharmacy, wouldn't it?
It will. We decided a strategic direction back in 2011 on that we would approach Boots first. And to be honest, I didn't anticipate it would take quite so long, but we're nearly there now. And we believe that a recognition agreement with Boots will help us and lead us on to recognition agreements with other employers. I mean, we always, we have cordial relationships with others, and we meet regularly with the likes, of example, of Lloyd's, and we want to enter into constructive relationships with these companies so that our members' lives can be improved, but also the the business can see the benefit of doing that. We know it's hard times, but a collaborative approach must be the way forward.
Yeah, I mean, I like yourself, Mark, I must be honest and say that one, I really enjoyed working there. Some tricky bits, obviously, but what job doesn't? But the processes and the way they go about their business, I learned so much. And actually, a lot of the stuff I do in my own little business now and in my GP practice work, a lot of those early behaviours that I learned from them or from working from Boots remain. I've got to be balanced and say that, I can't deny that.
And I'm in very great. I wouldn't be in the position I am today unless it was for the, the people I came into contact with at Boots, the experiences I got, the opportunities and the development. So yes, there are some very positive things, but one thing that you do realise when you're outside of it is that you're a pretty small cog in a huge global business. And really, the PDA recognition, that just gives you a little bit better balance in that relationship. So, you're not just a small cog, but you've also got some very supportive friends who will help you through things at work if you need us to. But also we'll be working very hard on your behalf to make sure that, your pay, your hours, other benefits, other working conditions are enhanced, maintained and improved. The other thing I need to just say that is also a benefit of independent trade union recognition is that the union gets the ability to appoint sort of safety representatives from the workforce whose sole job is to look after health and safety issues. To make sure people work in a safe environment, both for themselves and also for their patients. So that's sometimes a forgotten benefit of union recognition, and that's something that we will obviously be exploring. It's a very safety critical operation, is pharmacy, and we are, by virtue of recognition, get the ability to have that additional valuable input into the workplace.
Well, listen, it's been really interesting speaking to you, Mark. Really enjoyed it. I'm so proud when really quite senior people in the profession like yourself agree to speak to me and are happy to dumb it down for me that I can understand it. So it's been really good, and I'm pretty sure lots of people listening will get a very balanced, nuanced understanding of the issue now, and then vote accordingly,
I mean, we're very happy, if people want to drop us a line, send us an email, we'll always respond. And, there's going to be difficult questions for the union in this ballot. And, we are confident that, recognition for our Boots members is the way forward. And, we're committed as an organisation to making that work. And, it's got to be, it can't be based on the employer suffering, as it were. There has to be mutual benefits here. And that's what we intend to do, is that a proper partnership, sensible conversations, and let's look step by step at improving the lot of pharmacists.